Tested live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Obviously been watching the story around the dockets that have been at the center of a conversation between the police minister, the police national police commissioner, and the president also weighing in on where the dockets should be. We're speaking about the 121 dockets to the police killings task team. And I did want to get the opinion of Professor Alex van der Heever, who is from WITS as a chair of social security systems and administration and management studies there. Thank you very, very much, Prof, for talking to us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
So a lot has happened in the past 7 days, I suppose, in relation to the 121 dockets. We are told now, after yesterday's press release, that the dockets are now sitting in KZN, back in the hands of the KZN Police Killings Task Team, Political Killings Task Team. Your thoughts on where the dockets finally have found themselves now?
But I think they're where they should be. There's no reason why they were removed from them in the first place. So unless good grounds could be found on any kind of legal basis why they shouldn't be there, and that there's any improper conduct that they should be removed, you should leave them where they are so that they can actually proceed against the individuals concerned, because these are very, very serious crimes. And there doesn't appear to have been any logical reason why they were removed in the first place. There's the concerning allegations about why they were removed, and they appear to have some acting behind them. I was a bit surprised at the president's and the minister's comments around this, because it in no way affects the integrity of the Commission of Inquiry. It's got nothing to do with police investigations, and commissions of inquiry aren't police investigations. They should be able to scrutinize everything around us, which is not in any way affected by putting the dockets back where they belong. So I think this is the right framework. I think the president and the minister's comments were surprising, but they appear to be aligned now with the national commissioner. And now let's see the investigations proceed.
Can I just ask and get clarity on the... the lawfulness of the, first of all, the previous minister, or now, I suppose, suspended minister, Minister Mkhunu, that decision by him to, first of all, remove them, was it illegal?
Well, the thing is that the minister has no authority in any way to affect police investigations directly. What appeared to have transpired is that there were some phone calls that were made to that police minister and the deputy commissioner. And it was the deputy commissioner who has some authority to act in these. He was acting on some sort of inspiration from the minister, but he doesn't have to listen to any commands from the minister on operational matters at all, and shouldn't. So unless there were solid grounds to do so, in other words, evidence was given to the minister which was handed over and which formed the basis to act, then there would be some basis to act. But there appears to have been nothing of that kind. So it was the deputy commissioner who issued these instructions and took control of those dockets. And that appears to have been problematic. So he's obviously suspended, the former minister is suspended, the dockets should go back. And the only person who could have actually moved them would be the commissioner himself. And it's the commissioner who's basically referring them back. So everything is as it should be, unless there are some factual and evidentiary basis to make a different decision. All the people who are responsible for this decision have made what appears to be the appropriate decision. It doesn't stop transparency around what those dockets involve. They've made copies of them. It's easy to copy them. And they will be made available to the commission, and the commission can review them for its purposes, which is different from an actual police investigation.
I'm intrigued by the police minister's utterances, and the very latest is a statement that he released yesterday, and still speaking about a report he's waiting to get from the commission, national commissioner, saying that, you know, this report, the report on the task team, a report which is yet to be submitted. He repeats that in the same statement, saying, "I am still waiting for the report without further delay." What do you read into all of this?
Well, that if that is to do with the sort of the issues arising from Mekomazi's comments, that he wants to have some understanding of what's going on, and there's a report underpinning that. In my view, that would have nothing to do with the dockets.
Yes, of course.
So you can get those, again, no matter what is provided in the report to the minister's in no position to actually make any instructions around the dockets.
Yeah.
So that can help in the inquiry, and it can help in strategic decision-making. And it may affect, you know, whether or not action would be taken against the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
But the dockets themselves, that's another matter. If the commissioner were removed, you'd have to put another commissioner there. And that commissioner would be empowered to make decisions around the dockets.
Yeah.
But but they would also have to do so on proper grounds.
Mm.
So again, even any administrative decision made in government is reviewable. So it's potentially, it would still have to be a lawful decision, whatever is made. But it's not the minister's discretion to actually play around with the dockets.
And if we remove the actual issue of the dockets themselves, I mean, this tension? I mean, are we reading tension into all of this between the two of them?
Well, it's an odd thing to have acted on, because again, it's unclear whether or not there are any grounds to say, no, these dockets should not be referred back. So you would have expected that there would have been some kind of meeting to just clarify these issues and then move on. But but it would have been problematic if in that meeting the minister had said, look, no, just hold them back, because that's wrong. There was an investigation. It's quite clear that there are issues around this, and there are big players, bad people, who have been trying to interfere with the police investigations themselves, who have an interest in whether or not those dockets proceed. So everything is going to surface, because it will go into the Commission of Inquiry, and I think that they will be reviewed there. They will be checked over. So there's no hiding. So if there's misconduct in the police killings task team, it's going to be discovered. And if there's, inappropriate pursuit of individuals through those dockets, nobody's going to get away with that. There's too much, there's a floodlight on this stuff.
Mm.
It's going to be, or everything is going to surface.
Yeah.
So there should be no concern around that. So what you would always do, I would see in this, and it's a lesson from the Zondo Commission, because the Zondo Commission was not a police investigation. So you have the Commission of Inquiry taking 5 years, and they theoretically hand over the information to the NPA to proceed, and the information from the Zondo Commission goes to the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice fails to make all of the evidentiary information available to the NPA, and slows them down in proceeding on investigations.
Mm.
And then both the Hawks and the NPA say, well, you know, trails go cold in that amount of time. So the issue is investigations must proceed in parallel with any commission of inquiry, and they can be supported with the evidence that's generated in a commission of inquiry, depending on the nature of it. We also saw this in Marikana.
Yeah.
So Marikana, nobody's been held to account at all.
Mm.
So there should have been thorough investigations there, and the police involved in that need to step aside, and there needed to be independent police investigations into their conduct. No, that didn't happen. So then they relied on a commission of inquiry, and at the end of the commission of inquiry, they hope everything's cooled down, and then they do nothing.
Mm.
So that's the problem. This commission of inquiry can't be permitted to do that. So the investigation should proceed in parallel, and the commission should proceed and surface everything. And anybody who's made any allegations or statements or is investigating things, it's going to go into that inquiry.
So
that's why I can't understand why the president and the minister try to obstruct this.
And I was going to ask you that yes, you know, we are surprised by the president's utterances, but I mean, surely he would have been better advised. So what do you read into those utterances?
I don't know. I mean, I think there could have been a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
The minister might have been responding to pressure from the president, but he is a lawyer and a professor of law.
Mm.
He should know. So I think it's unusual. Mm. But I think that the president probably had an understanding which was probably not properly informed.
He's got a plethora of advisors. I can't imagine that he just wakes up and thinks of something. I think he probably checks with other people.
Well, he probably received political advice, but not legal advice, because nothing was lawful about what was stated. And the president and the minister of the police have no authority to interfere in an investigation. And if they do so, then you have to wonder what's going on, because the mere fact that there's a commission of inquiry is to deal with the fact that there is this political interference in police investigations, and here you have political interference in police investigations.
Well, I appreciate your take there, Professor Alex van der Heever, who is from WITS, Chair of Social Security Systems Administration and Management Studies.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.